Mark Knoll, Chief Economist with the Utah Department of Workforce Services, discussing Utah's employment summary, the first one of for January 2011. And Mark, this is a unique time of the year when it comes to releasing our employment data to the state because there's a little bit of a different kind of adjustment period going on.
Yeah, there's we call it benchmarking. I guess maybe a layman would say repair work on the numbers that were done last year.
So you fixed the economy.
Yeah, we reevaluated it. You know, what we're doing right now is January data, unemployment rate, employment growth, they both come from surveys. But especially with the employment data, after the fact, there is a census of employment that actually comes to us. Now, again, not the Census Bureau. It has nothing to do with that. It actually comes from the unemployment insurance system, of which, you know, if somebody got laid off and could go get weekly unemployment benefits is based upon how much money they made over a certain period of time in their work history. Well, how do we know that? All the employers in the state on a quarterly basis have to report in who they hired for that quarter, how much that person made. And so when all those reports come in, you can put businesses in their proper locations in their certain counties. You can put them in their industries. And when you get all of that data coming in, you can just add up employment. That is the historic count of employment. But you can see there's a lag there. If it's a quarter is January, February, and March, for example, April, the forms go out. It's not till June or July when you get them all back, process it, and get a count of what's going on in January, February, and March. So that's why we survey, is because people want to know in January, February, March, an idea of what's going on with the economy employment-wise and don't want to wait till June or July to get some sort of a numbers. But point of it all is there's survey that's out in front, but behind it comes a census that is the real numbers, and the survey has to stop once a year and adjust itself and anchor itself back to those numbers and then start the survey all over again. And that's where we are here at the beginning of the year. So we have good census employment data up till September of 2010. We have rebuilt the survey from October, November, December, and now here's January's number, which puts us at 1.5% employment growth, which isn't a whole lot different than what the pre-benchmark had put us at for December. The December number fell back a little bit to 0.8% growth. Now, this is a pretty good jump from 0.8 in December to 1.5% here in January. I have a feeling when we reevaluate January's number, when we do February, we will also revise January's number because there's more survey data that comes in. And I have a feeling that 1.5 might drop to maybe like a 1.3. Might go down a little bit. The unemployment rate is it was 7.5% December. It's 7.6% here in January. The benchmarking was done, though, in the unemployment programs. And what we have done is actually gone back since we got new employment data. That's a major input into the unemployment rate. We will reevaluate what the unemployment rates were then for last year and even 2009. 2009's unemployment rate was changed, annual average was changed from 6.6 to risen to 7.1%. And the annual average now for 2010 is sitting at 7.7% unemployment. So there was some movement up for the whole year's worth of employment data. I think when next year, when we do the benchmark again, 2010 will be looked at once again, and I have a feeling it might go up a little bit higher, maybe up to even 8%, but not too much more than where it's at in its current 7.7% situation. But one of the things you do see as you progress through not only 2009 into 2010, but moving on here into 2011 is the unemployment rate isn't going up much more, but what we are seeing is that more and more people are just not participating in the labor force. You have what is called to the employment to population ratio, which is you're looking at people 16 years of age and older. They're the ones who are in the labor force. That's the definition of the labor force. And so what percentage of all the people who are that age are actually in the labor force and working? And it has gone from way before the recession, we were around 68% here in Utah. And now that we've are really at the low point here, we're down to 63%. So we've had a good 5% of the people who are qualified of age, so to speak, to be in the labor force, who have moved out of the labor force, whether it's via they choose to do it. With that kind of a huge movement downward, it's got to be the economy, mm-hmm. you know, the job count and discouraged workers and being pushed out. So the unemployment rate, 7.6%, but we do know from those numbers that there's a lot of people who aren't in the labor force and who aren't looking for a job and therefore aren't counted in the unemployment rate. And if you brought them back in and forced them to come back in and look for work, you would take that unemployment rate up to 9% or higher.
And, of course, the national rate went down in this report by 0.4%, from 9.4 to 9.0, which is the lowest it's been for quite a while in the nation. But then again, way too high, and everyone seems to continue to say that this is going to be a long time of high unemployment.
It is, and I have a little more, I have a harder time explaining the in over 2 months here, going from a 9.8 to a 9 on the United States unemployment rate, because it's not so much that the job growth has put people back to work. The only thing you can say is more people are just getting discouraged. Mm-hmm. That's why the rate went down. Many people still feel that once the economy really starts getting some legs under it, that unemployment rate's going to go back up again, because those discouraged workers are coming back in and start looking for a job. So we'll see how that goes, but I do get the feeling with some of the analyses that I do read on in the United States that people had thought that we were going to get back up to 10% higher for that period when people do come back and start looking, and now they're saying, no, maybe we won't get above 10, but they do expect the rate to go up sometime in 2011 as people start to come back, and we'll see how that goes. But Utah's still sitting, you know, a couple percentage points below the national average, but again, I think a major reason for that is just our demographics. We're a lot younger than the national average, and we can just, because we're younger, we can afford to have more people, or more people in the economy can afford to fall out of the economy and go back to school, hang out in mom's basement, whatever it takes to ride this thing out. So that's part of the reason why our unemployment rate is lower.
And breaking it down by some of the industries, it looks like, well, you say that construction is worst, their worst days are behind it. And of course, the weather kind of warming up, new starts of various types of construction. That'll be interesting to see how that shakes out in the next month or two. And you also mentioned natural resources, including mining and gas, has kind of given them a little bit of hope in the Uinta Basin.
Yeah, let's start with the natural resources. It's not a very big sector in Utah, but it has grown the most over the last year. 9% growth, that's 900 jobs, that's all it is. But it's a rebounding of energy prices. We saw real high energy prices push drilling activity, particularly in the Uinta Basin for natural gas, to a peak in the very end of 2009. And then it fell off very fast because prices collapsed. And you could see this purging of employment in the area throughout most of 2010 until you got into the fall into the winter of 2010. And then energy prices were rising again. And so the industry stopped losing jobs and stabilized. And now with these high prices again on energy, they're back. They're bringing them all back, as it seems to be what's going on. And they're back to drilling. They're back to looking, and things are looking up again out in that area. The coal in the central part of the economy, Utah's economy, that's still kind of hit and miss. You open a mine here and close another one over there. So it's kind of just holding its own, I guess, treading water. It's the oil and gas that's driving up this natural resource activity. Construction, we're down about 200 positions over the past 12 months, which is nothing compared to the 30-some thousand. You know, we had lost it some periods in those 12-month periods in the recession. Construction's done, I think, losing jobs. Is it ready to gain jobs? Well, hopefully it is. You talked about the warm weather. A point I made in the press release, employment summary here, is that construction, we'll get a better feel for it when the warm weather comes. That's when construction wakes up. You know, construction kind of goes to sleep during the winter months here in Utah. It doesn't shut down completely. But you can definitely see it pulls back in the winter time and then heats back up, pun intended, as you get into the warmer weather months. So let's wait till March and April to really take the temperature, so to speak, of the construction industry. If you don't see it getting some kind of job growth gains over the same time period the year before, Well, then it's still kind of stuck. It's not losing anymore. That's done, but is it ready to start making some sort of rebound? So March, April, May, that'll answer that for us. That's when we'll start to get some of that warmer weather numbers to be able to make some sort of a gauge against.
Yeah, I think that's really a good point. The next 3 months are going to be interesting on so many fronts. I mean, with all the unrest in all the oil fields in the Middle East right now, will that precipitate more even activity in the Uinta Basin? Because it looks like that is going to be kind of a problem over there in the oil production for at least months to come.
That's something in itself that we're talking about. Yeah, the higher prices the basin makes out, but higher gas prices, the rest of us feel the pinch. And how are we going to be able to handle these gasoline price rises? Is that suddenly we were starting to look up? There was definitely good consumer spending numbers for the end of 2010 and moving on here into 2011. The numbers were looking good, and you're feeling like the consumer was making some progress. Is gasoline going to trip it up? Is it going to push it back? There's one positive that helps is the federal government, part of their stimulus that they just, and the extension of the Bush tax credits and some of the other stimuli that they put on top of it. One of those was cutting back on the payroll deduction tax. Well, the gasoline's going to take that.
Mm-hmm. Right. That was
so,
the extra spending.
Yeah.
Before.
So it's neutral right now. It's like, well, okay, I got it. I got that money back from taxes, or I will. It's not going into taxes, put it that way. It's on my paycheck now, but yeah, it's got to go to the gas station.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of counterbalanced right now. It would be much worse if they were taking the taxes and the gasoline station was taking more. Then it would be a worse situation. So there's somewhat of a counterbalance that has gone on there, and there's a little bit of neutrality in it. But, that the situation's volatile enough that it, anytime with oil, it can spike. It can jump on you when you don't expect it, and some of these political activities that can happen and so on can really hit that industry hard. And we all need, it's a big part of our economy, it's a big part of our spending and so on. So it's a vulnerable situation. We'll keep an eye on it. Hopefully it won't go higher. I will say this, the things I do read about oil is the price has gone up. It hasn't gone up because the supplies are short and the demand is too much. That's not the problem. It's political. It's one of two things, really. It is the unrest and the uncertainty that is going on in the political situations in the Middle East makes people, especially the oil traders, unsteady, and so the prices rise. And then also, unfortunately, the amount of stimulus money that the federal government's been throwing out into the economy, they're putting a lot of money out there, and it has a way of bubbling up somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bubbling up in the oil prices because these prices a month ago were on the rise, and there wasn't any problem in Egypt. There wasn't any problem in Libya and so on. And so why were they going up? Well, it was the bubbling of all that money in the economy. It comes out somewhere, and it's not, people look at the stock market, well, that's not where to put it. So it's back to oil again. It's back into speculating on the price of oil. So oil was already rising under speculative pricing. And then you throw the political unrest on top of it, and it's hopefully peaking out. Hopefully it won't go any higher. I don't want to see it go any higher. Then you are going to start putting damage back into the economy and dampening that consumer spending. But where it kind of stands right now, you've got that neutrality of the tax breaks will help pay for the extra gas prices.
Yeah, hitting $4 a gallon around the country right now. And I remember it was about a year and a half ago we had $4 a gallon gasoline too, which of course reiterated what you said. There was no real crisis going on in the oil producing areas of the world, but it was just a matter of that's what the market was.
Yeah, that was a speculative bubble back then. There's one possible thing that could help this time around is you spoke about a year and a half, 2 years ago, we got up to $4 a gallon. Well, we had never been there before. So there's your initial psychological shock.
We've already passed that barrier. It's breaking the speed limit or breaking the sound barrier in the 4 minute mile.
Yes. And so we get back to $4. Nobody likes it, but will it have as much of a negative impact on our psychology as the first time around? Maybe not, just because we've been
there.
So that possibility kind of is there.
People have already figured out how to adjust.
Yeah.
Where to make their sacrifices and whether or not that family vacation is still worth 5 gallons.
Yeah. It definitely has its impact on our, the way we spend money how it will get into certain industries. I don't think the higher prices hurt the healthcare industry, but on the other hand, you're right. Travel, leisure, hospitality, there are certain industries that are vulnerable to the not only the higher prices themselves, but the decisions that come because of the higher prices.
Well, okay, we've covered quite a bit of ground here for the benchmarking period. Anything else you'd like to add?
Hopefully, we'll keep this momentum going as we roll on through 2011, which is what we had thought would happen and have forecasted, that the employment growth won't go crazy this year, but it should pick up, you know, and we should have higher growth rates by the time we get out to December and so on. But, you know, as we can see, there's always wild cards. One of the biggest one that's out there is that oil stuff, and that has potential to erase the forecast and make us back to the drawing board and come up with something else. But for now, I do think that this oil stuff will run its course, and that as the rest of the year progresses, that the pricing, oil pricing, is probably, hopefully, at its high points, and doesn't necessarily need to go down much lower, but we don't want to see it go any higher.
Okay. Well, that was Mark Knoll, Chief Economist with the Utah Department of Workforce Services, discussing the employment situation and the employment summary for January 2011 for the nation and for the state of Utah. And we'll be back on St. Patrick's Day, Thursday, March 17th, 2011.